You know, top scientists say they really don't know what goes on at the subatomic level of our cells. But Dr. Richard Bartlett believes that that's where miracles happen, where all the possibilities come together. His book, he's the author of Matrix Energetics, The Art and Science of Transformation. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Richard Bartlett is both a chiropractor as well as a doctor of naturopathic medicine. In the early 1990s, Dr. Bartlett developed a revolutionary new technique called Master Energy Dynamics, which used functional principles of biochemistry, physiology, and anatomy to affect real-time changes in people's stress responses. He found that chronic disease is a product of lifelong maladaption to psychological, biochemical, and emotional stressors. This entirely new paradigm utilizes the principles and science of subtle energy, quantum physics, occupied with the incredible power of active imagination and focused intent to produce physical, verifiable effects that often defy rational explanation. Miracles happen every day. Matrix Energetics provides a technology scientific framework to allow for their everyday occurrence. Dr. Richard Bartlett on Coast to Coast. Hello, Richard. How are you?
Hello, George. Just fine. It's great to be here.
And I believe first-time guest, right?
That's correct. Very exciting.
Well, welcome to the show. And it's always exciting to break new ground, Richard. And I had an opportunity to read Matrix Energetics. Fascinating. Tell me a little bit more about yourself, other than the bio I just read.
Okay. Well, that bio is kind of a little out of date anyway, because in the 90s, I developed what you were talking about initially, the Master Energy Dynamics. And it was more or less like a reflex technique, similar to many things out there, but it incorporates some ideas about fuzzy logic principles. So that instead of looking for answers, like a yes or no response, like you see in muscle testing or dowsing or things like that, it looked for indeterminate responses so that you would move into what you would call organized chaos. And that allowed for a dynamic disequilibrium that could actually change the patterns that you were running as an expression of rigidity that could result in disease or some condition. So that's what I did back then, and really I don't recommend anybody listen to that or find out about it because it was too complicated, and it was the product of a lot of my medical training and my belief systems then. I went to chiropractic school in, I think it was 1983, and I was a musician before that, and I think the reason I'm here, George, is because disco came in because I was a bass player.
Okay.
I was a bass player and I was making a nice living. And then all of a sudden when disco came in, the club owners realized they could put these disco balls, you know, in the club and put a jukebox in, and they didn't have to pay these arrogant band members anything who just played music and people really didn't want to dance. They didn't want to drink. They preferred to dance. And so I couldn't make a living as much anymore, and so I had to look at an alternate education. And I thought, well, why not medical school? Problem is I wasn't very good with the math, and it's really ironic that I wind up teaching something that's heavily based in the ideas in quantum physics because I can't do the math. But some people have said that Einstein really didn't do a lot of the formulations of the math himself. He was the idea guy. He had visions. He would have what he called thought experiments. And then his intuitive flashes then would be worked out into the mathematical format or the language of math. So at that point, not able to go to medical school, couldn't really pass the CAT test that you have to do to go in, I went to chiropractic school. They allowed me to go with 60 hours of college. I went back to night school and got that, and I graduated in 1987 from Parker Chiropractic in Irving, Texas.
All right. There's a great chiropractic school here in the St. Louis area where I am for a couple more weeks, Logan College.
Yes, Logan College.
And I know a couple people who are practicing chiropractic. And what's fascinating also, not to digress from your field, but, you know, insurance companies are starting to recognize that this works too. I remember years ago where people in that field would not look at chiropractic medicine in a very positive light. That's changed now, hasn't it?
It's changed a lot. I think a lot of that's been due to the political action committees and the lobbying, you know, with the insurance and with other things. I don't think that chiropractic is still getting the respect in medical circles. There's a difference between chiropractic and what you would call physical manipulative techniques, you know, where the physical therapists, for instance, they'll learn physical manipulation, and it's taught in a lot of different formats, starting to be looked at in medicine. But that is a real linear, basically unlock the joint, change the mobility there, free it up. You'll get changes in physiology, changes in a certain amount of your autonomic nervous response. You'll get some measurable changes in circulation, in blood pressure, things like this, quite well accepted. The chiropractic that I practice and have practiced for 20 years is more in the fringe element.
What happened to you for you to start changing your mindset into this form of treatment?
Well, that's a great question. The first thing that happened is 6 months into chiropractic school, my second child was born, and he was born with bronchitis, asthma, allergies, and got pneumonia every third week of his life. For the first 3 years of his life, it was like that. And I was taking 31 credit hours going to chiropractic school. And, of course, naturally, I went to all my chiropractic instructors and tried to, you know, bring my son to them and get help, and that didn't seem to work. We tried medications. We tried, you know, the medical route. We found out that little babies don't like needles. We tried acupuncture, and that didn't go so well.
Big babies don't like needles either.
Well, that's true. That's true. You know, when I was 21, I was still going to my pediatrician because that was the only doctor I'd had for a number of years, and he'd give me a shot, and he says, I wish all my patients were as good as you.
My little girl, Richard, had allergies when she was 5-6 years old, and we would take her to an allergist, and she would get shots once a week during what particular allergic season that was coming up, especially in the St. Louis area. And I got to tell you, this little kid would just walk into the doctor's office all by herself. I mean, we were in the lobby, but, you know, she got this thing. I'm talking about 5 or 6 years old at this point. She'd walk right in the office, get her shot, and walk right out again, and like it was no big deal. It was
amazing. Well, by then, you know, it's probably not. It's amazing what you can get used to and what you can adapt to,
yeah,
especially if it's helping.
Yeah, and it worked for her, and she doesn't need shots anymore. So she grew out of it, I guess.
Well, that's a great thing. How long did she have to take them?
I would say it was over a 4 to 5 year period. You know,
that's not a bad thing.
No, during the season.
What were the shots? Was she taking something that was basically attenuated allergen, or, you know, like a homeopathic type thing?
No, it was the allergens, and it was primarily in the summertime in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
She'd puff up a lot, so ragweeds and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just the gutsiness of her, this, you know, this tiny little kid, just going in there, getting her shot, and coming back out again.
Children are amazing. I have 4 children, and then I have 2 grandchildren. So I've had a lot of opportunity. Plus, I've seen I don't know how many kids in my practice. You know, probably 100,000. I mean, hard to say. But it's really gets you when a child has a problem. You know, I remember, because my son had been so sick when he was growing up, he had a kid with asthma that I was treating one time, and I was working on the child with what I'd learned how to do back then. And I got into state, and I said, it's okay, Daddy will fix it, you know, referring to myself. I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm a little invested here. It's amazing how traumatic it is to have a child that's sick like my son was, and like I'm sure many parents out there have experienced. Fortunately, I did something that probably a lot of people wouldn't do, although I know parents would do this. I went to my library in my chiropractic school, and I studied everything that they weren't teaching me in school, because what I realized is whatever they were doing, whatever we were doing, you know, to try and help my son, natural diets, organic foods, we tried everything that you could imagine, and some things you might not be able to. It wasn't working, so I thought, okay, it's up to me. And I started learning all the weird, archaic stuff that was tucked in the dusty corners of the library where no one checked out those books. And I got quite an education that way. I learned a lot of techniques that are almost like, the Library of Alexandria for chiropractic or something, dead techniques that no one was teaching and you would never see. And it helped a lot of people, but it didn't help my son. What finally helped him is something called TBM, total body modification. It was something developed by Dr. Victor Frank. He's a chiropractor. I consider him to be kind of like an energetic father.
Right.
Because when I went and learned his technique, which was a crazy thing, you know, it's just a reflex technique, and you think, how could it possibly work? In 4 days, I came back, and in 30 minutes, I fixed my son, and he never had those symptoms again.
That's amazing.
Oh, it was great. It was wonderful. And that set me, and so you asked that question. That's what set me on this course, because I was trying to fix him, but in the process of not being able to help him, I learned so much that would help other people. But I started to make some distinctions, and this is what led me down the road a ways. I made some distinctions that not everything worked all the time. But if you had enough ways to get into rapport with a person, with their energy field, with their beliefs, with what they were naturally right with, then you could find a way in many cases.
Having not been a medical doctor, an MD, do you think that helped you in terms of your mindset to try something differently? Because I've noticed, well, at least now, a lot of mainstream doctors are looking for some alternative techniques.
Well, you know, the thing about medical education, and it's true for my education as well, and I've had the naturopathic medical education, which I'll go into a little bit later, it was a completely medical education, as was chiropractic school. I mean, we could actually sit the medical boards in some states and pass those boards because we had the same education.
Mm-hmm.
So really, my education was the same. What was different was the fact that I was desperate and needed to have a solution for my son, and I was going to look in all the unconventional corridors and crooks and crannies because I wasn't finding what I needed in what they were teaching. So I think desperation and the desire to help, the desire to heal, the desire to be of service is probably what drove me and what drives many people to these alternative things.
Were you pretty positive that you're going to be able to help him?
No, I wasn't. But, you know, I had a strong faith that this was put in my lap, call it a creative intent. And I was there to, if it was up to me, then I was just going to have to do it. I didn't know what it was going to take. And, in fact, I'll tell you, George, it came to a head. I remember one night, 3 in the morning, I was listening to my son try and breathe, and his lungs were filled up with fluid.
No.
And I was studying for a finals, because when you take 31 credit hours, you're always studying.
Yes.
And I picked up some salad dressing, and I threw it down at the ground in my kitchen, just frustrated. I just wanted to break something, right, so it would relieve some of the tension. And what happened was really kind of funny. The salad dressing hit the tile floor, bounced, ricocheted, hit the oven, and broke the oven door. And, of course, the salad dressing was just fine. But the funny thing is, that was that moment. It's like I cried out in desperation, please help me, you know. And that's when I got this answer. What happened is I had a lab partner who had never been able to be in the lab with the cadavers because she had an allergy to formaldehyde. And so she got special permission not to be in the lab, which is a big deal in medical school.
Sure.
And one day, all of a sudden, George, she was there in the lab with her hands in the cadaver whistling away. And I said, what happened to you? And she said, oh, my doctor treated me with TBM, fixed my allergy to formaldehyde, and I'm fine. And a bell went off in my head. I said, listen, this is important. And I contacted this man, and he wouldn't let me take the course for another year because I had to be a senior, you know, fourth year. So
yeah.
Screw me up, you know, if I took it too soon. But anyway, I knew that if I would take that course, that was going to fix my son. That's when I knew there was an answer.
Now, this person, was he a naturopath?
He's a chiropractor. He's an old guy now, but I consider him my father. He's probably in his late 70s, but he's a magician and a wizard. And he developed this technique back, I think, in the early 70s. And he was quite an amazing man. But that led me to start to explore other ideas. And in fact, when I was in the clinic, as you know, you have to see public clients. I became known as the weird guy. If you had a problem, you send that to me. The students got rather jealous of me. There were 78 people in our class, and I would show up on a Saturday, and I would have the clinic full just waiting to see me, whereas they were literally beating the streets for patients because I had this reputation of being able to handle weird stuff.
And you were doing this form of treatment, I guess?
I was doing probably about 20 different things that I'd learned in the library that people had forgotten existed. And what I did over time is I developed a language, basically, where I started to realize that all these techniques, it wasn't really the technique, George. I think that techniques have a morphic field. Do you understand about morphic fields?
No, tell me about
it. Okay, well, morphic fields, basically, there's something called morphogenetic field, and that's well known in biology. These are these fields that are around species, and they're the basis, they think, for the 100-month monkey effect. You know, where suddenly if one group learns to do something and then they teach it to their children and then they pass that down through generations, all of a sudden all the monkeys in that particular subspecies know how to do that task. There's a critical mass that's reached. Well, Rupert Sheldrake believes that morphic fields, not only do they exist for species like that, but they exist for ideas and for concepts and for techniques. And for cultural systems, like, for instance, there's the field of medicine, you know, there's the field of engineering. He thinks that they're referring to the morphic field. So basically you're talking about an intelligent auric field that the more information you feed into it, the more powerful and the more cognizant and the more focused it becomes. And then people that can tap that field, these may be your geniuses in society.
You know, right before you came on last hour, I was talking to a fellow who is cured of throat cancer, and we were talking about the hands-on healing that had occurred that helped spark this healing. Is that where you're coming from, the difference between healing and transformation?
You know, it's kind of a dodge on my part, George, because I have two medical degrees. As you know, I have the DC degree and I have the ND degree. And I tell people, which doctor would you prefer? Because it's, you know, I'm somewhere in between where I don't think either one of those degrees are important. And in fact, I think they limit what I'm willing to believe and what I'm willing to try to do. Whereas when I teach people matrix energetics, these principles in seminars, it is the people like, for instance, the stay-at-home mom, or the engineer, or the lawyer, or a child that may be able to do these things easier than I can with less of a problem. For me, if I call it healing, then what I'm doing is I'm in a relationship with disease. It's two parts of the same coin, you see. Anytime you try to heal something, then you're doing something against a disease or a condition. As long as you're doing that, you're playing by a linear set of rules that only allows for you to tap the potentials that are based upon that subset of what you can do in that given circumstance. Now, however, if you go outside of that, so that you can paint outside of those rules, then you start to bring in your imagination, your creative focus, your joy, your play, and anything, and I do mean anything, can work. Because you're tapping into unlimited potential at that point.
Well, we're going to talk about some of this magic, and that's what it is. It's incredible magic because when it works well. Can everybody tap into it?
I believe everybody can tap into it, and in fact, people are tapping into what I'm teaching, which is just one part of the holographic oyster, as it were, but they're tapping into it without ever having met me. By reading the book or just coming onto the website or hearing about these things. So, yes, I do believe so.
Okay, we'll be back. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, Dr. Richard Bartlett, our guest. Tell us a little bit about how fuzzy logic plays into some of your work, Richard.
Well, fuzzy logic was more of something that I looked at back in the 90s, but here's the thing. If, say, someone comes in to see me and they say they have let's just call it, say, arthritis.
All right.
And they've been told by their doctors that It's just the way things are. They've looked at it on x-ray. You know, there's degeneration of the bone. That's why you have this pain. You're probably going to have to live with it. You'll always have this pain, and so on. So there's not a lot of fuzziness there, you know, pretty sure. Now, if you can start to move that, those set of suppositions, so there's a little bit of leeway by saying, well, yeah, you know, that would be true if it were true that there was such a thing as arthritis and if there was such a thing as a knee, but I don't really believe your knee even exists, and much less you don't have a diseased knee. Now, I'm talking about looking at this from the idea that if we go down to the quantum level, we're just made of light. We're just light and information. When I talk to people, I explain to them a pretty simple idea. We're made of parts, the way we look at it in our modern reductionist system of medicine. We're made of systems, you know, like we've got our cardiovascular system, our respiratory system, nervous system, etc. Those things, of course, are composed of organs, usually a lot of paired sets, like for your lungs, your eyes, etc. Then you have specialized tissue types that make up those organs. Those tissue types are then made of specialized types of organic cells, which are made of organic molecules. So far, that's easy to follow, right? You get down to molecules, and you have atoms. And then it starts to get weird, because the atom, you have this alleged proton, neutron, and electron. Now there's doubt whether or not, you know, some of those parts are actually there. The electron, the way we were taught in school, I'm sure you remember the hydrogen atom. You have your proton, your neutron, your nucleus, and then you've got this electron spinning around in an orbit. Well, it just kind of looks like a solar system, doesn't it? Like if you have something a little bigger, you know, like maybe 6 electrons, then it starts to look like a solar system, and that's the old model that we worked from. However, what the scientists began to find out when they could look at these things at the level with electron microscopy, there was nothing there. The electron had a probability orbit, and it tended to exist when you looked at it. If you weren't looking at it, if you were just calibrating it, you know, like with a computer or something, there was nothing there. There was nothing but space and the tendency for it to exist. In fact, there was a cloud around it. What scientists say that cloud is all the probability orbits that electron could be in until you look at it, what's called collapse of the wave function in quantum physics. Now, here's the thing, George. We're still talking about you. Now, here's my question, and it's one that I've asked a number of scientists. If you are at your core composed of these things, you go all the way down to the virtual particles, all the way to the photon, how are you not composed of photons throughout your entire system? If that's what you're made of, that's the foundation of who you are or what you are, then the rules of quantum physics should be able to apply to macro systems. Do you get that?
All right. So why is it important to grasp this to do the kind of treatment or healing or transformation?
Well, I think it's important just because, well, what I will say about it is I think it's a useful mythology. I'm not going to tell you that I believe that's necessarily true. I think it's the closest thing I can say right now that approximates what I believe could be the truth. But the idea is it gets into what you asked. It gets into that fuzzy or indeterminate zone. Because if you can actually, with human consciousness, look at something at the level of the photon and the act of observing it causes the collapse of the wave function, causes it to actually behave as something different based on how you look at it, there is the power of focused intent right there to change everything in your reality.
Is this a field of energy that's surrounding all of us?
Well, it's interesting. There's a lot of fields of energy surrounding us. I mean, if you look at it, just the cell itself, you've got a sodium ion on the outside of the cell. You've got a potassium ion on the right on the cell wall, and then you've got a chlorine ion on the inside of the cell. Those three things together create an electromagnetic field just on that one cell. Now, you've got, 60 trillion cells, something like that? Mm-hmm. And so that's an immense magnetic field. But then you've got other fields of energy, and you can talk about fields of consciousness. And then you can start to talk about, if you understand the term zero-point energy or the zero-point field.
Sure, absolutely.
You have the zero-point field that you're then connecting in with. So your individual field connects in with this force like in Star Wars, the zero-point field, and you have access to the entire power of the universe. In fact, it's been calculated that, there's far more energy, you know, in this zero-point field than all of the matter in the entire universe. It's like a literal boiling sea of energy, as Richard Feynman talked about.
All right, go ahead.
If you can start to tap that by realizing that you're really not made of something physical, you're not physical matter, that is one option. But in a fuzzy, indeterminate sense, you could also see yourself as photons, a stream of photons that can be acted on by your focused intent, therefore catalyzing a change at the level of the photon and reorganizing those photons into a new pattern. You start to have choices way beyond this linear statistic of this is the way it is and this is the way it always is, because you have this choice or that choice, one or two choices. You have what you would say in quantum physics, you have infinite possibility. Now, here's the thing. Beyond that wave function, before you look at something, when you collapse it, you collapse it into what you expect to see. So what really happens with us is we don't change things very much. The reason we don't change them is because if we have, say, a hurting knee or we have a heart problem or whatever, we expect it to remain the same. That's because we don't realize that we have the power of this creative intent and this zero-point field, one with the universe, to change this by focusing our awareness, our imagination, our creative potential differently, seeing that as a different outcome and actually catalyzing that outcome, which you call the observer effect.
Would you do this without medicine, without help, or would you do it in conjunction with?
That's a great question. You know, being a doctor, I always tell people that they need to go with the prevailing belief system that they're operating under. And I have to tell you that even if you think you don't believe in medicine or would not do medicine, you do. We're very indoctrinated with all the commercials, the doctors, the importance of it. The morphic field of this is huge. You don't go up against the morphic field of, say, something like cancer and say, well, I'm going to treat it by just looking at you differently. Now, the fact of the matter is that perhaps you can do that, but you want to hedge your bets because the probability, the weighted probability of the outcome is that you will unconsciously collapse your belief systems, collapse those patterns into the expected outcomes. And so you have to get a little wiggle room. So you start with something easy. You start with something small. You don't go attacking a disease head on like Don Juan tilting at windmills. What you do is you pick something and you say, see, now if this could transform, then see, it changes the way you feel here. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, I feel completely different. And if people call in, you'll hear in seminars, people's lives are transformed because you're not trying to do anything by going up against something and treating it or trying to heal it. You're actually allowing it to manifest through a different choice, and by letting go of the reins of the way you've constructed that, you can actually recreate it, and you have a probable outcome that's weighted towards the possibility of a change.
I want you to give me an example of someone who comes to see you, create whatever ailment you want,
and tell me
what you tell them.
Well, I tell them exactly what I said about the first. I say the thing about how you're really all the way down at the atomic level. Your electrons tend to exist, and if that's true, and that's what you are, that means that your entire being, because you're a creative matrix of energy, your entire being is linked together. You can't touch one part of any individual, and we're talking physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, without affecting every other part. It's all linked together, just like we're tapped into the zero-point field. That means a change anywhere, in any capacity, can change the entire manifestation of your life. I mean, I've had people come in that, they came in for a back problem because I'm a chiropractor, right? And they neglect to say that they've had depression for 30 years. And I don't do anything with their depression. And for that matter, I didn't even do anything with their back. And their depression is completely gone. I saw this person I'm thinking of, didn't see her for 2 years, came back in. She said it is still gone. If I had to go and treat that with melatonin, or if I had to suggest certain things, or I had to eliminate foods, or I had to treat blood sugar, or whatever I would try and do, that's a good thing, because there's process and there's miracles. Sometimes a person needs their process. They need to have something they can believe in. They need, if you want, like in What About Bob, they need baby steps. They need to say, well, I could change my diet, or I could exercise, or I could do this. People that come to see me, I don't impose my belief system on them. In fact, I don't have to tell them anything. I've had animals that have changed, and I believe me, I didn't communicate with the animal what I was doing. But I try and keep things as fuzzy as possible so that all the options are available. That means if they want to see their doctor, I always tell people, continue with your medications if you're on a medication. I don't want to take you off your medication if your doctor decides to do that after you're different and you're better and wants to agree with you that that's the thing to do, then fine, let's do that. But let's harmonize you with these things so you have better outcomes. Let's get you out of pain. Let's help you to change, you know, what's going on in your life. Let's see these things manifest, and then you decide, you know, where to go from there. I don't impose my beliefs on anyone.
But I haven't heard you tell them how they can help cure themselves.
Well, that's because I don't talk in the terms of cure, because when you talk about cure, now, it can happen. I want you to understand. It's like, say, someone comes to me with cancer, and I've had cancers go away. I mean, they just go away. But I wouldn't tell you that I could cure cancer, because to tell you that, I now am performing at an expected standard, and as a doctor, I'm trained, you know, to know what cancer is, to know how deeply important it is, and know all the manifestations of it, and all the research and all that. That's a huge field of energy. What I do instead is say, I'm not going to treat you for anything. What I'm going to do is I'm going to engage in this process with you. I'm just going to touch one place on your body, or maybe not even on your body. And we're going to enter into a different reality, which people feel immediately. And then we're going to see where we go from there. It's kind of like painting a picture. If you start, have you ever painted or done anything like that?
Yeah, I've done a little bit of that.
Okay, well, you know what I mean. You just kind of go, well, where would I start? You know, and you kind of put a little dot on the horizon, and you draw a little something there, and then your attention's drawn somewhere else, and you start to fill in a little bit of a landscape and so on like that. This is much more of a creative process than a medical process, even though I'm very well trained as a medical person.
You have somebody, Richard, who comes in who's 70 years old. They're not going to understand this. How do you help them?
Well, here's the thing, George. Unfortunately, I can't touch you because we're not together in the studio. But all I have to do, I don't have to tell them anything. It is literally, this energy is such a strong field that even standing next to me, people will have very strong experiences. Their pains will go away. Their blood pressure might normalize. Their depression leaves. Things like this. By not focusing on the condition, but focusing on them.
Well, how do they tap into it then?
Well, they tap into it by just being in the presence of it. It doesn't require.
Hold on. Because before they came to talk to you or see you, they weren't into it, right? Or else they wouldn't have this problem.
That's absolutely right. Well, I don't know if they would or would not have the problem. I mean, I tell you that their problems were created because of their beliefs. That may be true. But I'm not going to tell you that because of they have these certain beliefs, that's why they have the problem. They have a problem for whatever reason they have it. And I don't judge people. I don't try and tell them, well, if you'd only done this or believed this, then it would have been different. It's really about what happens when they encounter this energy. It's not about what I say about it or even necessarily what I do. And it's not about me either, because my students can do this probably better than me in some cases. And it's not about training. It's really about letting go of the way we see reality to the degree that we allow it to manifest differently. It's a completely different paradigm.
But who is this knowledge for? Is it for the practitioner or for the patient?
Well, see, that's the thing, too. I've had lawyers attend these courses, engineers, stay-at-home moms, children. Anybody can learn to do this. It's not really a doctor-patient thing. It's not where you're going up against a condition, like I said, and claiming to treat it or heal it. It's that by not playing by those rules, by playing outside of that set of realities, you're actually free to choose something that allows for the expression of a different outcome. It's a completely different paradigm because it's refusing to play the disease healing game.
Okay, once again, because you're kind of skating around my question, Richard.
I'll try and be specific for you.
Somebody needs the help, or they need to learn this. They need to change whatever is wrong with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What do you tell them?
Okay, the first thing I tell them is exactly what I said, that you're basically, you have the potential, if you saw yourself as photons, if you realized you were a stream of consciousness, then you have the ability to observe in a certain key way that we teach your body, your mind, whatever you want to focus on, and change it. The way you do this, the way I've developed it, is you touch two points, you develop a relationship between those points. It's almost like if you have a north and a south pole of a magnet, you know how they feel attracted, and if you hold them apart, you'll feel a pull. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, if I were, say, to touch someone's heart, so they had a heart problem, and then I touch someplace else, like, say, a knee. It doesn't matter where I touch. The second point is arbitrarily chosen, but what it does is it allows me to make a measurement. At the quantum level, when you make a measurement, the act of measuring actually collapses that wave function into a different pattern. That's what you do.
Yeah, but you're doing it. They're not.
Well, they can learn to do it in literally 4 hours. It's very easy to do. And in fact, I have, to give you an example of how easy, I have an orthopedic surgeon who was in, I think he was in Poland at the time. And he happened to see me on the internet and knew nothing about me, but he'd heard from a friend, hey, you ought to check this out. He had a patient that was there. Now, this is a doctor-patient thing, but he didn't look at it that way. Had a patient, 27-year-old woman, who had a very bad, what you call a kyphoscoliosis, kind of like a hunchback. You understand? You've seen those?
Yeah.
All right. So this is terrible for a young woman. And he looked at the website, and he saw me doing what it shows there. It's a little video. Anybody can go look at it if they want. And he said something that made the difference. He said, if he can do it, I can do it. Now, it wasn't about a technique or a system or anything else. He tapped into the morphic field of the consciousness of what I'm talking about and instantly accessed it. He touched two points on his client, just like he saw in the video. She actually went unconscious, like it looks like in one of those revivals or whatever. She kind of was writhing around on the floor and laughing. And when she came back, it was like, I think he said it was about 20 minutes later, she stood up and her spine was perfectly straight. There was no sign of the curvature whatsoever. And he did nothing. He touched two points. That's all he did. And so what he did is what any good doctor would do. He had her come back the next week to see if it held. Well, she came back. It was still fine. So 3 weeks this goes on. She comes back. And on the third week, she looks him in the eyes and she says, what do we do now, doctor? And he said, I don't know. That's all that was on the tape.
All right. Stay with us, Richard. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to take your healing stories next. Okay, this is what we're going to do. You heard my interview with Butch a couple hours ago, the miraculous healing, self-healing of his throat cancer. Share some of your stories like that with us, Dr. Bartlett, with us. We'll get his take on them when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Dr. Richard Bartlett and your stories of self-healing. Richard, as you know, much like your book, Matrix Energetics, mm-hmm. I've always believed there's a wireless matrix out there in the universe that people tap into, which has this source of energy. How did it get there? Why is it there?
You know, it's a great question. I'm sure I don't know, but remote viewers talk about a universal matrix that they tapped into. If you I'm sure you've interviewed people from the Stargate program.
Oh, yes, many times.
Yeah, so they would tap into the coordinates of consciousness, and they would all find the same things. Well, I think that we put these things there throughout time. Laszlo, one of the, I don't think of Laszlo as a physicist, but he believes the zero-point field basically holds all the records and information of everything that's ever happened to all of us. And he calls that, he equates the zero-point field with the Akashic Records. So if you can, by light vibration or by that oneness of intent with the morphic field, you can tap into the same information, say, that Einstein or Tesla tapped into, or the great healers, like perhaps even the Master Jesus. It's a matter of getting on that same resonating or oscillating pattern or principle, and then through feeling, through intent, Greg Braden talks about this in the Divine Matrix, through your intent and getting the feeling of that happening, pulling that in. That's how the miracles occur. So I think we put these things there, and in fact, I believe that whenever any of us develops an idea, a technique, a system, a new thought or experience, that becomes available for everyone simultaneously everywhere.
Okay, to the phones we go. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Okay, gentlemen, great show, and this is Gary from the Nutmeg State. And first, let me make a little prediction. When they capture Bigfoot, it will be in Roswell, New Mexico.
Nutmeg State, of course, is Connecticut, right?
That's
yes,
right.
You bet.
That's
all
it.
Right.
You got it, guys. And the first thing I'd like to contribute is, when it comes to the overall healing and health, remember one thing. Modern technology is so advanced today, but you kind of null and void it by not going for your routine physicals every year. I know men have to be dragged in. Just simple blood tests today pick up so much stuff, and then you can take it from there. You could hit it with medicine. You could hit it with nutrition. You could hit it with everything. But bottom line is, let's catch these things in their early stages. That is the best thing. And, guys, one last thing for the whole country. To heal America, let's get Tom Tancredo elected president.
That is Tom Tancredo's PR guy, no doubt.
Okay.
He slips that in whenever he pops on. Tancredo's not a bad guy. He's probably pretty good for a lot of things. I have tapped into this source, Richard, time and time again. It's not to say that I would shy away from modern medicine. I'm not a vaccine kind of guy. I'm opposed to it personally. I don't take flu shots. I think you can build up your immune system in a natural way. How important is that, a natural way?
Well, here's the problem with that, too. It is important, yes. But if you start to make distinctions between what's natural, what's unnatural, what's healthy, for instance, if people are eating healthy to prevent disease, in a sense, at the unconscious level, they're in a relationship with disease. I think people should eat healthy because they feel good, because they like the food they're eating, because it tastes good, and it makes them happy. And then the natural product of that is freedom from disease, or a less likelihood of developing a so-called disease.
Okay, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us. Good morning.
Hi, this is Kathleen from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, Kathleen.
How are you?
I'm good.
I've had hands-on healing.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Dr. Namy here in Ohio that does healings. He does it in groups, like mass groups, like 3,000 in a day. And I have been suffering with, I have a bad heart. And, I was suffering with, I had no blood. My blood just kept disappearing. And I was at the Cleveland Clinic and nobody could figure out where my blood was going. I mean, I would go in and I would be down to like 5 units and they would give me 8 units and 2 days later take my blood and I had no blood again.
Amazing.
And they did, you know, scopes and everything, and I wasn't bleeding anywhere internally or nothing, and nobody could figure out what was going on with my body. So 2 years ago this month, they sent me home to die. They said,
oh,
there's nothing else we can do for you. They said I had, you know, anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 months, and I went to one of these healings, and being very skeptical and not knowing what this man did, you know, or how he did it. But anyway, I walked away and here I am 2 years later, thank God. And all he did was touch me for like not even a minute.
That's right, Kathleen. It doesn't take a lot, does it?
No. I mean, because he moved from person to person to person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is all done in a Catholic church, and I do believe in the power of prayer, and I do believe in miracles. And And I also feel that that many people being in one place at one time, everybody praying for a miracle, that they do happen.
I think that's exactly true. You know, that's what I was saying about that morphic field. You prayer and love and the desire, the positive intent, creates this immense field of energy that's available. And, of course, you could call it the Holy Spirit. You could call it God. You could call it the zero-point field. But it's a very real force that you can tap, and things like this happen.
Well, all I can say is I thank God, and I thank Dr. Mamie because I'm still here. So.
That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful
thing.
Would
you call it a miracle,
Kev? It doesn't really matter what happened, does it?
No.
Would you call it a miracle? I would.
Yeah, I would. Because,
I would, too.
I mean, I told the doctors at the clinic, I said, if you guys here can't figure out what's wrong with me, where do I go? Who can help me, you know? And they had no answer. They just, you know, they just said, I'm sorry, but, you know, it looks like you're going to die. And, I mean, I literally came home and made my funeral arrangements and everything. And, but I thank God, you know, every day that I'm still here.
Absolutely. That's the problem with my medical training or with any medical training. If you fall outside of the prescribed procedures and you fall outside of the regimens for what constitutes a disease, then there's nothing to do. And then they don't go to a point of we don't know. They say there's nothing that can be done. And if you go to a point of I don't know, that allows for the possibility of something else coming in and healing you.
Richard, how close with what you do does it echo shamans, you know, people from, let's say, older types of medical treatment, Buddhists, for example, who practice a different form? How close is this to what they do?
Well, you know, I can't really speak for them, but I can tell you I've read a lot, and I believe that they were tapping, like you were talking about, a divine web or creative matrix, and that through their intent and through their training and through their altered state, they slipped into the reality where those things are not only possible, but a weighted probability they're more likely to occur. Their training and their belief system, their culture, all of that contributed to them being able to do this. So, yes, it is very much like that. And I can tell you, I think, well, Dr. Tiller, for instance, who wrote the foreword for my book, William Tiller, he called me a quantum shaman. Now, that's his words.
A quantum shaman. I like that, though.
I did, too. It was very sweet of him. And,
take it.
And it was a wonderful thing. But I believe the shamans, what they would do is they would, it didn't matter really per se with the technique. There's coyote shamanism where you've got the trickster. And they might do something like, well, for instance, some of these bloodless surgeons, they stick their hands in, you know, and pull out a chicken limb or something. Well, they admit sometimes they're not really penetrating the body. It's a sham, but the point is not the penetration of the body. It's the belief in the procedure that then allows the access to the energy that allows something miraculous to happen.
What do you mean by filters when you talk about that? What are filters?
Okay. Filters are your perceptions. It's like, for instance, if you look at somebody wearing a red sweater and you say that sweater is red, well, it's not actually. It's every color but red. That's the only one that's not present in the spectrum, so that's the one that gets reflected back to you. That's a physics thing. But our filters say, for instance, I always have a headache on Saturday, okay? So that's a belief that we've set up, and then if we have that, we have the expectation or the perceptual bias that that's going to occur. Our filters will allow us to ask certain types of questions, but not others. That's why I've had to go to transformation, because my filters as a medical doctor, because I have that naturopathic medical training, would not allow me to ask the questions that would get outside the boxes where things like what Kathleen talked about could occur or were more likely to occur.
Okay, let's go next to our West of the Rockies line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Ann Albers in Phoenix, Arizona.
Hello, Ann. Go ahead, please.
I have attended two of Richard's workshops, and I'm currently studying to be a practitioner, and I've experienced matrix energetics firsthand. What it felt like is a giant wave of energy coming at me. I literally went unconscious for the briefest second. I came to and noticed that the misalignment in my jaw, neck, hip, et cetera, had completely disappeared, and I've had that for 2 years after an accident. It remained gone, and on top of that, emotional conditions that seem to be associated with that completely disappeared as well. And I would describe this work as entering into, I'm an ex-avionics engineer turned spiritual lecturer and author now, so I would say it's quantum field or the mind of God in which you have infinite possibility. And what matrix energetics does is it literally removes the filters, taps you into all the energy that was previously not accessible when you had those filters working. Think of a stream of water, and if you had a successive line of filters in that water, you would get a very limited stream coming out the other end, right?
Yeah.
Now remove the filters, and then all of a sudden you have that force coming through, accessible to create alternate states of reality and different possibilities. As a novice, I've used this on a client of mine to remove a cancerous tumor, I should say, to assist her in changing that into a fibroid. I've used it to help people align. I've used it on myself at times. And so when Dr. Richard said anyone can learn this, he means anyone. I've actually shared it with a few friends of mine who don't have any background or experience or framework, and they're doing it on themselves now.
It doesn't take it, does it? All the quantum physics mumbo-jumbo is just mumbo-jumbo to distract the conscious mind.
Right. It basically lets your mind relax and go, oh, there's something here. But I can tell you from both the side of spiritual instructor, angel communicator, and ex-avionics engineer, electrical engineer, that this totally makes sense to me, and I'm, believe it or not, a skeptic. I have to try everything myself first to make sure it works. And this is the real deal. And I believe Dr. Richard is taking a blend of what the physicists know, what the shamans have known,
sure,
and actually, in a sense, mixing it into a big pot of soup and letting go and seeing what emerges.
Well, let me ask you that, Richard. Are you? Do you have this big pot of some kind of soup where you have all these ingredients in it and it seems to work?
You know, the most ridiculous things will work sometimes, George. What I teach in the seminar is we need to get back to being like little children so that we have access to the kingdom of God. And what I mean is when we have childlike imaginations, our perceptual filters fall away. I have one student that just sent me a funny email where she said this woman called her for a long-distance healing. She was having shortness of breath. She was having like an acute panic attack right there at that moment. And my friend was very tired and kind of lazy, and all she could think of was the seven dwarfs. So she started singing to herself, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go, you know, kind of whistling that tune. And she got into just a relaxed state where she wasn't focusing on anything. And the woman goes, what did you do? That's completely gone.
I love that.
Yeah, me too. Because that means anything, and I do mean anything, will work in the moment. You just allow your creative imagination to open, drop your filters, drop your borders, and let come what may.
What if you're negative? What if you, regardless of mainstream medicine, regardless of this tapping into the matrix, what if you say, it's not going to work for me?
Oh, my God, George. I've knocked people on, may I say, on their butts, unconscious. And I mean unconscious for maybe 40 minutes who said that to me. Not because I did anything to them. They really didn't mean that. They just wanted to feel something. And they came up there, and it's like Kathleen, who was on the line, described. There was this big energy field. It came whooshing through. And literally all you have to do is touch a point or not even touch someone, and you have access to this enormous soup, as you called it.
All right, back to the phones. Let us go to our first-time caller line. You're up with us. Hi there.
Yes, my name is John. I live in Marantz, Michigan.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
And, hello. Well, I was in 1991 or 92, I was in a research study for gonorrhea, of all things. And they put us up in a hotel room and injected us with the virus. And at that point, I was having second thoughts, and I tapped into something within my body, and I, you know, felt the resonation, like vibrations and stuff, and started mucus was coming out of my nose. And within a day or so, they put us up there for a week. And that's when I realized I could manipulate either the atoms or molecules in my body. And when they came in every day, they would take swabs, see if the virus was manifesting or growing. And mine always kept coming up negative. And I told them, well, try this mucus here. And that's where they found that the virus that they injected into me was, I was excreting it out of my nose.
What a good strategy.
Getting rid of it because it didn't, especially I think my subconscious and I was saying, I don't want it in there. And it was manifesting through my excretions in my nose. And, I mean, I don't, that's when I realized that, I mean, that's the first time that I found I could do something like that.
Have you had other things happen since then?
Yes, well, I don't get colds because when I feel it coming on, I do that same process and it comes out, you know, I mean, it comes out through my mucus. I have a runny nose for 2 days and boom, I'm back good to go.
Now, see, what I would say about that, John, is you accessed a skill that you habituated. You basically created a procedure unconsciously, and then you learned that so well that the weighted probability is you just don't get colds.
Then keep fighting the good fight. Richard, give me your website. Where can people get more info
sure.
on what you do?
It's www.matrixenergetics.com.
All right, stay with us. We'll be back with Dr. Richard Bartlett. We've got another hour of calls to go at the top of the hour, but we're going to continue to chat with you. We want your healing stories. How did you do it? I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Richard, have you ever surrounded yourself or stumbled across one of these negative type people? I call them psychic vampires, and there's nothing you can do to make life better for them.
I've had instructors like that in chiropractic school. Yeah, you know, and the trouble is when you're talking about quantum physics and you really believe it, like non-locality, you feel those people coming from days off, you know. You could feel like suicidally depressed or something. You think it's you, and then the person comes in and you go, oh, that's why I'm feeling that way. It's not me at all. Of course, yeah.
There's a fellow who has since passed on who built an area called Coral Castle down in Homestead, Florida. An incredible feat by this guy. He was about 5 feet tall, weighed about 100 pounds, moved blocks that were tons. I mean, it's just like almost like the pyramids. Nobody knows how he did it, Richard. He worked by himself. He studied magnetics. He understood physics. He understood gravity.
Mm-hmm.
I think he came up with something. I think he tapped into this matrix, much like you do for healing. I think he did for moving large stones.
Well, you know, I can tell you a story. One of my students was in Peru, and he was up there in Machu Picchu, and he was looking at the huge stones there in the, I guess, the pyramids that they have in Machu Picchu.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he was wondering how that was done. And he just went into this state we're talking about, kind of an open access state where you're not really thinking or trying to do anything. You get a feeling, a connection, and he got a connection to the stones. And he heard this tone in his mind, and he swears to me the stones actually lifted up about 6 inches. And someone, I think, even took a photograph of it, but when they did, it collapsed that waveform of that reality, and the thing settled back down. But I mean, I don't think I could do that, but he did it, and he's a regular guy. In fact, he's a school teacher.
All right, back to the phones we go. Wild Card Line, it's your turn. Hi there.
Good evening, George. This is Diane from San Diego.
Hi, Diane.
With Cassie the Bird. You know, George, I'm a magician, and I wanted to let you know that I truly perform the best and the most real magic. I first talked to you when I was celebrating my 14-year anniversary of my liver transplant. Day three, the surgeon came in to me that evening and looked at the bag coming from my liver that collected bile. If there was bile in the bag, he knew the liver was working. There was no bile in the bag and had not been for 3 days. He told me, Diane, you've got to do something because we're going to lose you. You've got to do something. And he walked out. I had been doing biofeedback, in which I still am at Scripps in San Diego here. They have a department of integrative medicine. Thank God they're lifesavers. But that night, George and Doctor, what I did was I spent the whole night envisioning my liver working. I prayed to God really hard. I didn't leave that out, but I also envisioned my blood flowing, rich red blood cells going to my liver. I envisioned my liver working. I saw it in my mind working. And all night long, that's what I did, deep, intense imagery healing. And the next morning when that surgeon walked in, his eyes popped. The bag was full of bile. He looked at me and he just shook his head. What did you do? I said, I did. I talked to my body all night and I made deals with God. And what you're witnessing, doctor, is a miracle. And he saw that miracle. He wrote me up in some journals over that. And I'm also working on more miracles here. I'm still going to the Department of Integrative Medicine, taking biofeedback. What I'm learning there is...
I'm going to have to cut you off here, Di, because your phone's starting to really crackle on us. But I guess the message there, Richard, much like everything you've been saying tonight, is she, in her own way, tapped into it.
She connected with that reality, and I'm betting she had a feeling in herself of being in that, and it was really at not the level of her conscious mind, but she created imagery and then let go, because that's the key thing, George. You can hold on to something, and if you hold on to it, all you get is you get into a struggle with that thing. But as soon as you let go, you place the intent, you let go, it's like putting a pebble into a pond and then watching the ripples just spread out. I had one of my students and dear friend. We had a patient that went into liver failure because we didn't know it. He was a heavy alcoholic, and his liver and his kidneys shut down. He was in the hospital, and he was dying. And my friend went into the hospital, and what he saw in his mind's eye was the sick bay on the old Star Trek Enterprise series.
Yeah,
you know, where they had the little levers that would go up and down based on the vital signs. He saw that, and he worked with that, and he brought all those levers in his mind into balance, and those kidneys and the liver started functioning perfectly again.
All right, let's go east of the Rockies. Your turn. Welcome to the program.
Michael in Norfolk, Virginia.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
I'll tell you, the way the program started tonight in the first hour, I said to myself, this is the most brilliant introduction to a four-hour show that George Norrie has ever done. And it has just snowballed from there. This entire interview sets a record. The most brilliant and important interview ever. Now, you talked about screens, and you talked about amorphous fields.
Yes.
George, by bringing in his own personal experience, began to create the amorphous field that has allowed the energy to build so high in this program. He became one mind with you. He put himself into the picture on this. And I'm going to do that by telling you about a dramatic healing of scoliosis, which was captured by professional television cameras right here in the greater Norfolk area. And it defies everything that religion, science, and the paranormal says. And only tonight have I heard an explanation that brings it into focus.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you very much.
Here's what happened. Now, I have a neighbor, this was about 7 years ago, who has had scoliosis since childhood. And it had gotten so bad, she is at this time in her early 50s, it had gotten so bad that I never saw her without a cane or without a brace on her neck. And she was becoming more and more depressed, going down and down, and talking about, you know, well, like, this is going to be about the end. There was nothing I could say to get her out of her depression. And she's, you know, she's not one of these holy roller types. She's not into that. She's just the opposite, about as far away from that as you can get. And I'm not either. And here I am, I'm presented with a dilemma. Now, how am I going to pick her up? I'm sort of like George with his friend earlier that he described. you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with this neighbor? So the only, I happened to see a poster. Now, the poster advertised that Benny Hinn was going to be coming here to the Norfolk area, actually in Hampton, at the Hampton Hampton Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying to myself, well, you know, I have suspicions that this guy may be the biggest phony of them all out there, and I sure don't want to suggest this guy. But I'm thinking, you know, how am I going to get her out of this depression? So I went about it philosophically. I said, well, look, you've been to all these doctors, you've gone all these years, and I'm thinking, I've got to say something that will make her mind have some hope. So I said, you know, there's this Benny Hinn guy, and believe me, I'm not the type of guy that wants to even be associated with him at this point. So I'm saying, this Benny Hinn guy is coming. You've tried everything else. I'm saying, well, you know, maybe when you run out of options, you have to just take whatever else is available. So I didn't believe she'd do it, but she says, yeah, she'll go. She goes with her daughter and me and several other people. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, now, what have I done? What have I done now? There are all these cameras, and there's, you know, 10,000 people there. And so, lo and behold, after they go through all the thing that they do in the first part of the thing, she gets up, and she walks down onto that stage. And like I say, she's not a religious-type person. And you could see that she didn't have the connection with the people there that the other religious expecting people did. But she was keying in on this screening idea, this idea, well, look, if nothing else works, maybe I ought to try something. And that's kind of how I was approaching it, too. Just give her some hope or something.
She let go. She let go, didn't she?
Yeah, just to get her out of this depression. That's all I wanted to do. Well, lo and behold, she takes off that neck brace, she throws down that cane, and that was 7 years ago. Now, I got to the point where I thought I would never see her without those things. I haven't seen her with it since. Now, the thing I'm trying to say here, and I'm giving up a lot here because my anonymity is worth an awful lot to me, and I'm taking a big risk in doing this, but George took a risk, and I think I owe it to George and to this audience. I'm thinking about something that Fred Allen Wolf said a few years back on this program about how we could change so many things in this world if we would just do what you've been talking about tonight, Dr. Bartlett.
That's right.
And I think we need to get this kind of amorphous energy feel going in the program, you know, where people are really keying in. I think of Greg Braden. I think of Fred Allen Wolf. I think of anybody who could turn us in this direction. Now, here's the part for the religious people I have to put here. I think most religious people, they think, you know, it says by his stripes we're healed, or we are healed.
Mm-hmm.
So they only think in terms of Jesus. But you're describing the fundamental building blocks of the universe, and if he, in fact, is the one who was responsible for that creation,
you tap right into that.
What he provided for us was the ability to open our mind, and I think George and Art and Ian have got to be a little more open on this side, too. Look, we don't want to get to the point where we are as narrow-minded as a lot of these religious people are. But on the other hand, they are the ones that are experiencing in greater volume these kind of miracles.
Well, you know, Michael, if you can imagine that, and I'm not denigrating the Holy Spirit or Benny Hinn. I saw Benny Hinn on a 2020 or a 60 Minutes. I think it was 60 Minutes. And they asked him, well, how come some people get healed and some things come back and others don't? He goes, I don't know why that is. And then they asked him, well, is this hypnosis? And he said, I don't know. It could be. He was so humble, and I really gave him, it's like, what's his name on American Idol? I had to give him his props, dog. You know, I mean, he really was living that, you know? And I think, here's what I think. I think that they're tapping into the morphic field of Christianity. They're tapping into the morphic field of Jesus, into this energy that we, through our hearts, our love, our devotion, whatever, have put massive energy into. It's like a fully charged phaser bank on the Enterprise. And then you direct that with your intent, with your desire, with your prayer.
What
as
about
Greg Braden says, with the feeling.
What about the healing properties, let's say, of like Lourdes? Do you believe that the water really has that ability? Or is it their belief system because they just happen to be there?
Well, you know, I think, George, that there are special places on the planet that have had a lot of energy poured into them. And then think about all the people that believe in that water. I believe it is both that it probably does have something special, but I believe it is our prayers, our intent, our beliefs, our expectations that also contribute greatly to making that special. The one feeds the other.
Now, you started off by talking about physics and quantum mechanics and the principles of how some of this is tied into what we've been talking about tonight. Mm-hmm. But how many mainstream scientists would subscribe to this?
Fred Allen Wolf, Dr. Tiller, definitely.
But not a lot.
Probably not. But, you know, that doesn't really bother me a whole lot because I'm not really here to prove any of that's true or even believe it's true. It's just a plausible explanation that allows people to get out of the way of their own conscious mind and to do something.
Isn't the bottom line with all of this too, Richard? Regardless, we're human beings. We're going to get diseases. We're going to get ups and down. We're going to get depressed. We're going to get happy. Isn't the bottom line that you need to be able to pull yourself out of it as much as you can, with as much positive energy, positive feeling, as opposed to feeling sorry for yourself and being negative about everything that happens?
It certainly does. It certainly does help. But I have to tell you, it's kind of like it's a religious metaphor, but like the healing of Saul on the road to Damascus, where he was blinded and in an instant, you know, changed his whole consciousness. It does not require a lot. In fact, it requires very little to turn around a whole lifetime of something like that. If you enter into something that you can't explain, can't describe, but can feel, except for just the blink of an eye, and that change can occur.
All right, we've got time for one more quick call before the break. Wild card line, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
My name is John from North Carolina.
Okay, John.
And
hi,
I
John.
I was just calling, and I just wanted to make a couple comments. By the way, I do love your show, though, George.
Thank you, John.
But the thing I was kind of getting at is with the comment and maybe a question is that Dr. Richard is, I think that stretching like two or three times a day can cause a sense of release of stress-related issues that can cause like freedom from diseases as well as protection against cancers and such things like that. And also, I was going to mention that looking for weird, unusual-looking bumps on the body could also be early detection from any kind of major illness to report anything that looks out of place.
Absolutely. Always pay attention to anything that's different or unusual or catches your awareness.
Yeah, because I had it happen to me one morning. I was stretching in a mirror before work, and I had a lump under my left underarm. And for, you know, about a couple of days, I was noticing it, and I didn't think much of it. But then I told my mom about it, and she said, well, you know, just ignore it, and maybe it'll go away. And so
not a good plan, usually.
I went about a month and a half, and it didn't go away. And finally, my mom got concerned, and I went to the doctor, and he did surgery on it just to see what was maybe there, and it came back as Hodgkin's disease.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
And, you know, I ended up having to take 40 radiation treatments and 8 chemotherapy treatments. But the thing that I noticed about it was I went through a lot of pain in order to, I guess, for the healing process to take effect.
Well, that is the first step, of course.
Thank God for medicine, and thank God for you paying attention.
We'll be back. Final hour of questions with our guest, Dr. Richard Bartlett, on Coast to Coast AM. Now, how do you try to change someone's mindset, Richard, when you're going through this program? I know you talked to them about the energy involved, but what if you see them to be kind of negative or down?
That doesn't really seem to matter. This actually does, George, work every single time. If it's a principle, and that's why I say it's kind of like, we could say it's quantum physics, but if it's a universal principle, when you tap into it, it's always there. Let me give you an example. I had a man who traveled with his wife across 2 states to see me. His wife dragged him there. I have kind of long hair, and I was dressed in, I think I had a Grateful Dead t-shirt on and jeans, and I don't even remember if I was wearing shoes. I did not look like, you know, your typical idea of a doctor. And he took one look at me, and I made my own judgments, my own filters. I thought, he's not going to like me. I raised my hand up to say hi to him. I was going to shake hands with him. He fell dead unconscious into my hand. I literally had to catch him because he went over so fast that if I hadn't caught him, he would have smacked his face on the floor. And he stayed there for 20 minutes in my hand like that. I couldn't budge him. And just had this experience. Well, that was the entire visit. Then the next day he comes over and I ask, how are you? Because I did nothing. I really did nothing. And he had back pain, I guess, because he looked at me and he kind of turned all embarrassed. And he said, I don't think my hips are supposed to move like that. He said, I was walking down the street and I felt like a cheerleader. My hips were swaying all over the place. And I literally did nothing. I had a poodle that came in to see me with his owner, a standard poodle, who had epileptic seizures. I touched the dog. The dog had a similar experience. The dog doesn't have seizures anymore. I did nothing. I did next to nothing. I accessed the state. I let go, and things happened, basically.
And tell me, does the animal itself do anything?
The animal will sometimes, yes. If you look in my book, you'll see a German Shepherd that was at a seminar that is pretty much unconscious. If you could see the next, the actual next frame, the dog is upside down on the floor with a smile on his face. Yeah.
I guess I'd be laughing, too, if I were saved.
And well, it's amazing because it feels weird. You ever, like, exercised or you got just a little lightheaded, you know, and you felt all spacey, but you felt kind of euphoric. It's like your head is expanding out in the space in the room. It's a weird feeling. You don't feel like you're a body. Everybody describes it as being expansive, as being lighter, as being brighter, as feeling more uplifted. That's how they describe it. They don't really have a word for it. Most of the time, when they have an experience like that, they just kind of go, what just happened? They went, ugh. And I went, that's the word I was looking for.
Well, we'll expand the phone calls this hour. Not only are we interested in your self-healing stories, but just general questions now for Dr. Richard Bartlett. Very appropriate. Let's go now to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Yes, hi. I have a quick question. Well, sure. Actually, a two-part question. Why can't you just hypnotize somebody into thinking that they don't have cancer or something? And also, can you use the zero-point energy to actually make yourself look younger or maybe even to make yourself rich or something?
Great questions. What is your name?
Roger.
Oh, hi, Roger. Okay, first thing about hypnosis. I think we're all in trances all the time. So every single state that we experience, these are those filters of perception, is a trance.
Well,
so, yes, you can go into a deep trance, and definitely in certain cases, a person could hypnotize themselves and not have that cancer. The cancer itself is a conglomeration of consciousness, call it photons, call it beliefs, call it what you will. And, yes, hypnosis is one possible way of doing that. I don't think it would work every single time, but it doesn't matter if it's your cancer and it goes away, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So yes to that. The other thing,
tapping into zero, zero point, zero point energy.
Yes, zero point energy. Well, you know, everybody's seen Star Wars. It's the field. It's the field. So you can do amazing things with zero point energy. I had several thoughts about that. I can't remember what they were. I will tell you that somebody tuned into zero point energy and they healed a lake. That makes it interesting. If you don't mind, I'll just tell you about this.
All right. What do you mean they healed a lake?
They healed a lake. I'm going to actually read this to you if you don't mind. It's not very long. The Healing Powers of Liberty Bay. This was actually published in a little paper here. One of my students got all depressed about how this bay where they lived was polluted. So he tapped into this zero point energy. He did what we call a two point. In other words, he attached his consciousness, one point, to the lake. He attached his awareness to him. He then felt a change with his intent that the lake would no longer be polluted. This took a few seconds, and here's the article. The Healing Power of Liberty Bay. Puzzle doesn't seem to sum it up, but why city and county officials aren't openly concerned about how exactly the sewer piping at Lamolo has miraculously fixed itself since its closure in October 2002 is a real noodle scratcher. Maybe the waters of Liberty Bay, after being doused with some 800,000 gallons of city sewage during the past years, possess some magical quality they're not ready to divulge. The fountain used, maybe not for people, but possibly for the siphons that transfer Polsbo's sewage across the bay to the Central Kitsap Wastewater Treatment Facility, and aptly named Brownsville. This was actually in the paper. And they go on to say, it's too bad Jack Palance isn't around to field this one for Ripley's, believe it or not. The latter seems more likely unless the 2002 report from the Ductile Iron Pipe Research Association, which should know a thing or two about pipes, was way off in stating that the system was corroding. Now, we're not rocket scientists or members of the Ductile Iron Pipe Research Association for that matter. But one thing we're fairly certain of is corrosion doesn't all of a sudden just go away, not even if it's asked politely. That was one of my students.
I love it. You know, we had a guest on by the name of Raymond Grace.
Yes, and it reminded me of him.
Yes, me too. He's, you know, he prays, he does the dousing, he takes a little bit of water, and you can use droplets of it, and he's the kind of guy to dump it in the lake and try to cure it.
Right.
First time caller line, you're on with us. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Jeff from Poplarville, Mississippi.
Hey.
Hi, Jeff.
George, I just wanted to tell you I like your show. Been listening to you guys for about 2 weeks now, and
thank you,
and Art do a great job.
We appreciate you being part of the family now.
Yeah, and first of all, I'm not a holy roller myself, but I would say I'm a believer. And I got a healing story for you that was unbelievable that happened to me. I've worked law enforcement now for about 5 years. And I went to a call after our worst storm of Mississippi's history, which was Katrina. I'm sure you heard about that, which was 2 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
It was an injured man who was dying from a bad car wreck. And there was a passerby woman who stopped to help with this subject. And she touched the man's his head, and immediately he got up. And he was walking and talking. His cuts quit bleeding, and when I asked her, how did you do that, she just told me it was faith in God. Then I turned to ask her another question, and she was gone.
Sounds like an angel, my friend.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking myself. But I do believe, you know, that she tapped into a power that would have to come from above. I mean, that's all I could say about it. And I believe prayer and faith in God, you know, can heal anything.
I do, too.
That's a great story. You're the kind of police officer I want to stop me one day, Jeff.
Absolutely. Thanks for your story. Thank you so much.
All right.
I haven't heard you talk too much about angelic intervention, Richard.
Would you like to hear me talk about it?
Heal.
I'd be happy
Absolutely.
To.
Give me your thoughts on that.
Okay. I was going 85 miles an hour on a icy road in Montana at 4 o'clock in the morning because I was late to get to where my patients were, 6 hours away, and I'd left late because I was waiting for this blizzard to blow over. It didn't. I hit black ice, which I did not know existed. Should have listened to my wife at the time. I hit black ice on a bridge, and at at 65 miles an hour. That's what I was going when I hit. I hit a bridge head on a second later, going 65 miles an hour. I looked down, knew I was dead because I saw the speedometer, saw a brilliant flash of blue, did not feel the impact, was not in any way injured. My car was totaled but still drivable, because believe me, at 4 o'clock in the morning in the dead of winter in Montana, if your car is disabled and you're in the middle of nowhere, you're still dead. It's just going to take a little longer. I believe that was an angel. Most definitely. In fact, I think it was the Archangel Michael, because it was like this brilliant blue energy, and it was this powerful energy. But there is no reason whatsoever, other than angelic intervention, that I should be alive. And I've had a lot of that in my life. It's just, you haven't asked until now.
You know, I've always believed we have 9 lives, you know, just like Elphega Baca, Richard. I don't know how many I've used in my life, at least 3, maybe 4.
Me too.
You too, huh? Yeah.
Definitely.
Let's go next to our wild card line. Your turn. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Steve from Maywood, New Jersey.
Okay, Steve.
And last fall, I had a sort of a psychic spiritual awakening. And I've always wanted to heal and help people. I have a girlfriend with degenerative scoliosis. And she has a 52-degree curvature. And I started concentrating on her spine and how I could just straighten it and relax her, because she's very depressed from this also, and a lot of pain. And she went to the doctor about 3 weeks ago, and I've been doing this for a few months, you know, and she's laughing at me. She doesn't believe it. And she went to the doctor, and somehow the spine went down 3 degrees to 49 degrees.
That's great.
The doctor said, this can't be. And took more x-rays and compared them and says, it's got to be an anomaly, I can't explain it. And I tried to tell her what it was, because I believe I helped her. And she just says, no way. But I'm continuing to do it. And hopefully we'll come to your seminar and see when you're in Newark.
That would be great. I wanted to tell you, we have people that, just like yourself, all the time, you could almost use the word heel scoliosis. Now, 52 degrees, that's a lot of curvature. It is.
It is.
But I tell you what, you ever seen a Roadrunner cartoon?
You've
seen them, right?
You got it.
Okay. So imagine the spine like a twisting road, and you've got the Wile E. Coyote putting out the birdseed right on the edge of the road, and then here comes the Roadrunner so fast, beep, beep, that all of that road suddenly straightens out in a flash of an eye. You can do it that quickly, my friend. It can be done that quickly. Now, with 52 degrees, it might take a little more play, but please do come. It's something I'm sure you could do. Anybody can.
I've heard 3 cases now. You know, you brought up one. We had 2 callers now about scoliosis. That seems to be pretty predominant with people.
Yeah, well, everybody, you know, I'll tell you what. If you've had, for instance, a trauma, let's get a little esoteric. If you've had a trauma in your life, and we all have, but say a major trauma that affects your heart chakra, that big energy field that comes out of your chest about 12 feet in circumference, that will cause an amazing twisting in the rib cage, twist and torque the heart, the lungs, the diaphragm, and affect the spine. And you can actually, now, I haven't talked about this, George, but one of the things we teach, if you are made of photons, which you are, no one can really debate that, photons have the hypothetical ability to travel backwards and forwards in time. You can actually use a procedure we teach in the seminar, go backwards in time to the point before that trauma, physically holding on to it, calibrating it, as we like to say, measuring it, and see it change right before your eyes.
Almost time travel, basically.
It is time travel. It's practical time travel. I mean, it's conceptual, and who knows what we're really doing, but I have seen so many so-called healings with my students and myself doing that simple procedure, literally touching 2 points, counting backwards at time, and you don't even have to know what you're dealing with, and at some point, they're liable to be unconscious. That's what that doctor did with the scoliosis, the orthopedic surgeon. He collapsed it, changed it in a second.
It's not difficult. I know the answer to this, but I want to hear it from you. Why can't we then use this incredible power that we could tap into to change worldwide events?
I believe we could. Imagine if we took all the energy in a Super Bowl game And we took all that energy and put it towards world peace or some condition.
Something
I believe
good.
That condition would change. It's a matter of, it's an increment of energy. You have to have so much. It's like an alchemical formula. Greg Braden talks about it. It's 1% of a pattern will change it, is enough to change it.
Well, we've experimented on this, and it works.
Sometimes it
works too well because it does have some ramifications, but I'd rather try than not.
Absolutely. I was in a spiritual activity for 20 years that was all about what you call the vow of the bodhisattva, of giving your energy for world service to change those conditions. Not trying to decide what's right or wrong, but trying to bring peace, trying to bring harmony, trying to bring greater awareness and consciousness.
Let's
it works.
Let's go west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
This is Cheryl from Phoenix.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl. George. Hello. George just asked my question, so I'll ask the question. Okay.
You get another one then.
Yeah. I'm sure if you ask it, we'll listen very intently.
Well, I wanted to know if it could be done at a distance on the masses, but I wanted to elaborate on that and ask, would you need to know the person's name or condition?
Sometimes not. You know, the thing is, Cheryl, I think if you got a connection, one of the things we teach in the seminar, you could take a bottle of water, for instance, you know, like one of those, you know, whatever, we won't name a brand. You take a bottle of water and you pretend that bottle of water is the actual person. You don't need to know about the person. You start touching it and you find something that interests you. You just feel it, you know? And then you make another connection with it, and when you feel that connection, that can be enough to actually connect with that person. It's similar to voodoo or what they call quantum entanglement, where you can take a sympathetic object, something you've decided represents that thing, and then project that energy with a thought, let go, and then allow this zero-point energy field to manifest into the new pattern. Yes, you can.
So do you have to actually touch them? Or
No. You could literally be touching your own leg. You could be holding a point in the air and thinking about the person at a distance. No, you don't need to touch
them. The young man, Adam, Richard, heals people, sometimes over the phone.
Absolutely.
So it's basically just projecting and being in the moment.
Yes, but it's interesting, Cheryl, because it's not running energy. In resonance theory, that's what most people call quantum healing. It's not, because resonance is still a completely linear phenomenon. It's going to the point where something can actually occur in the blink of an eye. Now, it's interesting because even though it occurs in the blink of an eye, it could appear to play out over time. Do you get that? It could
both be
instantaneous, and it could also appear to take time because our perceptual filter would require time to process an information and allow for something like that to occur.
A process, in other words.
That's right. It could be a miracle which is instantaneous and goes against all the laws, or it could be a process that just appears to occur over time. But they're one and the same, actually.
And can we call you and you can do a distant healing?
You know, I don't do a lot of distance for one thing. I work full-time, and I'm going to be a lot more busy out on the road, and I'm not as good with distance as some of my practitioner friends who they make a habit of that. I like to get my hands on somebody. I'm a Taurus. You know, it's like I like to touch people. I like to get to know them. I like to feel from my scientific background that something is really happening. Now, some of the people that I've trained, they are so amazing with the distance quantum entanglement phenomenon that they don't need to be there.
How do you find them?
Excuse me?
How do you find them?
Good.
You can call our office. We can recommend some people.
Okay.
We'd like to suggest that you go to a seminar first, because we don't want to get into legal entanglements with treating someone for some condition and then having these expectations that are not fulfilled. We like people to at least understand the process so that we can offer the help. I would do anything I could for anybody, in fact, split into multiple pieces if that were something I could do and would help.
So let's recommend people go to your website at least. That's how they can contact your office?
Absolutely. Yes, go to the website, take a look at the video there, buy the book. Because the book actually has everything we're talking about and more in it. It describes this process, and it gives you all the keys that you would need to activate it and to be able to use it.
We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with final phone calls. Don't go away. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We're going to take your final calls this half hour with our special guest, Dr. Richard Bartlett. Richard, before we get carried away with more calls, thanks for being on the program again tonight.
Oh, it's my great pleasure. This is a world of fun.
And the website, of course, everybody, is matrixenergetics.com. It's linked up right now at coasttocoastam.com. Where do you get the book, Richard?
You can definitely get it on Amazon, but it's also, because it is released by Simon & Schuster through Atria, it is available in Borders and Barnes & Nobles and probably your local bookstore. That's coming to a bookstore near you.
Have you done the tour yet?
You know, part of the tour starts in May, and then Simon & Schuster will probably tell me what stores they want me to go to after that, because they handle all of that.
Well, this show will jumpstart you, believe me.
I'm very aware of that.
Yeah. Okay, let's go back to the calls. We've got you for the rest of the half hour. Questions for Dr. Bartlett or your self-healing stories, tapping into the energy. East of the Rockies, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Good morning, George.
Hi.
Richard.
Good morning.
Great show.
Thank you.
I was just curious, to your knowledge, is there any correlation with the use of linseed oil in breast cancer?
I'm not aware of that. I haven't seen any research that mentions that. It's the first I've heard of it. But you might know more about that than I do.
Well, I'm kind of just delving into it. And the second question, I guess, was my father worked, was an electronics engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And he dealt with a lot of radar work for Bell Labs and Western Electric.
Yeah.
And do you think that that could have had any effect on his contracting Alzheimer's and aphasia?
I wouldn't say I could blame it on that, but those are strong magnetic fields, and I would not doubt that it could have a very strong effect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, it's always great to hear you guys, and have a great evening.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Dennis from Hobart, Indiana, writes, he wants to know if your procedures differ from what he calls EFT, emotional freedom techniques.
Very definitely. In fact, I think all techniques, George, are languages. They're just conversations in the field of energy and intent. It doesn't really matter so much about the technique. It's accessing the energy and the beliefs and the patterns behind the technique that make it work.
Rose from Yakima, Washington. I've got an incurable disease told to me by doctors. Is there anything that can be done for me?
Well, I would have to have a lot more information, but the very word incurable is one of those bugaboos in the system that you don't have much hope when you hear those words. You would have to contact us and let us know what that is.
Richard, she says she's losing her ability to walk. So what would cause that?
There's so many things that can cause that, and sometimes that is not a problem. I mean, it's something that's very easy to deal with, and sometimes it might be the onset of something serious that's difficult to deal with. I've seen cases of so-called MS completely go away in my office, and my students have done the same thing. I don't believe we should label things. I mean, I know as doctors we have to, but then maybe we don't have to believe in the labels as exclusive to the condition.
What do you prefer, the practice of chiropractic or naturopathy?
You know, at this point, I don't think I do anything like that. I mean, I will use everything I know from both of my medical degrees and nothing I know.
West of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hello there. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Bartlett?
Yes.
Is this the same technique that Jesus used to heal? Because
you know,
he said everyone could do it.
It might be. I don't know. I think that Jesus obviously tapped into universal energy. Jesus also, I don't know if you know this, but he studied very hard in those missing years, the lost years.
Oh,
and
yes.
He learned a lot of things from a lot of cultures.
Well, plus they said he was very, his uncle was very rich, and I think he had the advantages.
Yes, he could travel.
Pardon?
He could travel. Yes.
Yes, he could on the ships. His uncle was like Onassis.
Absolutely.
He was a shipbuilder.
Yes.
George?
Yes.
I want to sing the Marilyn Monroe Happy Birthday, and I can never get through on June 4th.
Well, I'm going to put you on hold, and you can
okay.
give Tom your number, okay?
Because I've got that tabbed.
Oh, just give me a hello, Mr. President, to Richard here.
Hello, Mr. President.
That's pretty good.
Happy
all right.
birthday, Mr. Broadcaster.
Okay. Don't get into that Anna Nicole Morphic field now.
Okay, no, not at all. All right, Tommy, she's on hold. Get her phone number, call her on my birthday, and then take two aspirin. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Oh, hi. Great. It's good to get through. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you.
Well, I am a first-time caller. I actually only have been tuning into your show for about two days now. I'm a nighttime security guard, and, man, it's the most intelligent programming I've heard in a long time.
Well, wait till I tell you some scary stories about being a security guard at night, but we'll do that on a Friday.
Hey, why not? I'm calling because you asked a question earlier to Richard. You asked whether that this technique would be attributed to shamans in older religions.
Yes.
I don't know if I consider myself a holy roller, but I am a student in almost all different spirituality theory, I guess you can say, and predominantly the pagan religions.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that this kind of technique is definitely a something that is a constant in all of these religions, and I've actually have some experience in healing myself because through studying it. The lady asked whether or not Jesus used this technique, and I would say almost definitely it's almost truth with a capital T.
I would say so also, but what I would also say about that, if you strip all the techniques away, then you have a language of spirit that's universal, and then it's just a matter of tapping in with a feeling and a belief into whatever it is that you pour into that vessel, and it will work.
Absolutely, absolutely, and even with when you really get down to it, it doesn't need the physical contact. You're absolutely right. I mean, you can do it over great distances. I don't even think you have to. You can just sense the hurting and
it's
and
a matter. That's right. It's a matter of sensing the connection. And if you sense it, it's done. Just like Jesus said in the Bible, he said where he was going to go heal someone, and yet he was a long ways away. And then the person said to him, I believe it was, well, if you even just, you know, think about it, then it will be done. And he said, your faith has made her whole or something to that effect. It's that field effect of connecting up with it. Yes, no, you don't have to be there. Non-locality.
Exactly. And everybody can tap into it. I actually have a story that can, if we have time real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
A friend of mine, her sister got hit by a train. Her car did.
Mm.
And it was very ugly, and her sister was in a coma, and this is over multiple states. And she knew that I practiced what today is, I guess, called witchcraft, but it's you know, these things are just tools. And I decided to try some healing magic. But the principles are exactly the same. It's just about sensing energy and sending out the healing energy, and so I tried it, and sure enough, I mean, whether or not it was attributed to my actions or not, the next day she woke up from a coma and was on the road to good health.
Well, again, like I was saying, you're tapping into an ancient culture that's put a lot of energy into the phaser banks of that system. And then all you do is you get in resonance with that morphic field of that culture, that belief, that technique, whatever it is, and yes, it's like a laser, isn't it?
It is, and you can feel it, and you can actually harness it. It's a skill. You can start growing it, I mean, and then getting better at it.
Once you feel it, you memorize it. Once you've got it memorized, it becomes an unconscious skill that's always there.
Absolutely. It's just about getting over that initial barrier and realizing that it's something that is real. It's about adjusting your sense of reality.
That's right.
Thank you very much. It's been
very
enlightening.
Thanks, I'm glad. Welcome aboard, by the way. Richard, why do you say that negativity doesn't affect us? You're one of the first to say that, one of the few as well.
Well, I won't say that longstanding, say 40 years of negativity, was, say, maybe hatred directed inward at yourself couldn't cause cancer or something like that. But what I will tell you is you could go backwards in time to the point where before that negativity began and, in a sense, access a parallel universe where you say, what if I went back to the point before this event occurred that made me feel this way and it was different now? That is enough to change it, and I have seen it over and over again.
Isn't stress negativity?
No, stress is a physiological response to something where we're used to having a caveman's nervous system and body, and we're still trying to respond to the threat of a dinosaur or a bear, but what we've really got is just these little micro-stresses that build up all the time that we can't release.
Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. You're on Coast to Coast.
Oh, hey, good morning. This is Laura calling from New York City.
Hi, Laura.
Hello, Laura.
Hi. First, thank you for a wonderful show, and I'd like to encourage you to have more shows about, you know, positive health care.
Sure.
We need it, especially with the magnetic challenges we're going into. I just want to reinforce something that you said and then kind of share a thought about something that happened to me that shows how strong the body is. First, you had said before about how important, how you know, everything we think and do goes right into the, you know, universal field. So, you know, we all have a responsibility to everyone and everything not to indulge in even thinking evil thoughts or whatever, because it, you know, goes right out there and you never know where it's going to manifest. And then what happened to me was pretty interesting and pretty bizarre. Two things that were injected into me medically actually just squirted right back out of my body. My body rejected it, so...
Good for your body.
Yeah, exactly. I thought, you know, great. This is, you know, my subconscious is so powerful. The first thing was a TB test, and it was a little water bubble under my skin in my hand. And I thought maybe the technician did it wrong because she pulled the needle out, and it just squirted right back at her, you know, like an inch or two, literally as though if you, you know, squirted a syringe out, you know, into the air. And she, you know, she was embarrassed. I put my finger over it. Yeah, I put my finger over it to kind of stop it, and it kind of stopped, and then as soon as I took my finger off, it went right back out, squirted out like an inch and a half. And then a couple years later, a couple years ago, I got an injection into my upper arm, you know, deeper. And I don't look when they inject, so, you know, I just saw the nurse, her jaw dropped, and she jumped back, and I looked down at my arm. And the same thing, it's squirting right back out of my arm, like 2 inches out. She said in 28 years she was a nurse, she'd never seen it.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of that. Yeah, you've obviously never heard of that either?
Well, no, I've seen some things like that, but it's very funny what you're saying. I'm really enjoying the image.
Okay, we have time for a couple more callers, and then that's it. International Line, where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Mary. I'm calling from Toronto.
Hi.
Hi, good morning, George and Dr. Bartlett.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. You said something very interesting at the beginning, Doctor, that you could use this technique on animals.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I was wondering if you could do anything to put new life back into the bee population.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. I haven't thought about it, and I wouldn't know how to calibrate that. But I would say that anything is possible, and I don't see why you couldn't do that. I think you'd have to have a representative sample, like you'd have to think about a bee, really get the sense of that bee, and then get the sense of the collective consciousness of the bees, and then put that energy from the zero-point field through that entire population, which is not difficult to do.
Someone needs to do it now, then. Can you arrange that?
We might have just done it. We did something just then.
Okay.
You and I.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Next up, Wild Card Line, your turn. Good morning. Hi there.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Mr. Richards and Art.
I'm George, but that's okay, and you're with Dr. Bartlett. Go ahead.
Yes, I've been listening to your program for at least 5 years study.
Well, thank
you. I had an experience, which I was diagnosed in 94 with cancer of the in the neck. And my mother convinced me to go over to a church. They were having like a healing service. And a guy from Texas was preaching. And he called for us to get up in line, you know, to be healed. So I go up there and about seven or eight more people. The energy in that place was so high, so rich. I felt the electric shock go down the right side of my neck, and it felt like it just went right through my body. When we went back to our seat before I could sit down, he turned around and said, "You're healed, brother. The Lord told me you were healed." Well, that morning, I went up to the hospital, which I was scheduled for surgery, and went under surgery. That very night, the doctor was in my room. He stayed there until I came to, and he asked me what occurred. He said when they opened me up, there was nothing but just a black, charred mess. He said it wasn't even anything that he could even take a biopsy of.
Sewed you right back up, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Very perplexed, wasn't he?
I've been fine ever since I've been fine.
I have one of my students that actually, she doesn't like to talk about it, and I'm not going to say a lot, but she actually healed a very life-threatening cancer that was wrapped around her heart, and it just completely went away when she started tapping into her authentic self. And she perplexed Mayo Clinic and a bunch of other Virginia Mason and a bunch of other places, and they all just think she's a bona fide miracle. Miracles happen.
They sure do. Wild card line, your turn. Hi.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Is this me? It's Roger?
Yes, sir.
Hi, sorry. Right, sir. This question, I know the doctor doesn't like to think so much in terms of specific disease and specific cures. However,
well, I would if I could do them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. However, I am a cigarette smoker, and as are many of us, and would like to quit. How might you – well, fear, I guess, is a component of quitting smoking, but besides that, or maybe that is the thing, how – is there a way or would you approach helping someone quit smoking
in a particular way? Can I answer that with a brief story that I think will illustrate it for you?
And we've got a minute left, Richard. Go ahead.
My daughter was a meth addict from age 16 until 2 years ago. She came to a seminar. We touched her at 2 points. She said, Dad, can you do something? And she collapsed to the floor. She went unconscious, started laughing, giggling, looked like she was having some sort of a kundalini experience. She's been free ever since of that and smoking, and it happened in the blink of an eye. So, yes, that can happen for you.
Well, I'm glad she stopped when she did, Richard. It would have killed her eventually. You know that.
Well, she really wasn't entering into that reality. It wasn't a matter of detox or anything. It was just gone. It was done.
My gosh.
It's a miracle.
Richard, I want to thank you for being on the program, and more importantly, for helping people at least guide them into the light. And I think that's so important.
I hope I can just do some good. That's what I'm here for.
All right, Richard. Website again, matrixenergetics.com. Thanks, Richard.
Right. Thank you very much, George. I've tremendously enjoyed it.
That's Dr. Richard Bartlett, and we'll be doing this again for you tomorrow. For Steve Carr, Wayne Roberts, Dan Galanti, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Ross Mitchell, Alan Corbett, Stephanie Smith, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.